You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he was praying for them. In Ephesians 3:19, this was his sincere prayer. He prayed that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Amplified says that you may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life to the full until it overflows the abundant God kind and God quality of life. Everyone say, it is the will of God for me to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that word fullness, what it does, it means this. It's the Greek word pleroma. And it means a full measure. It means copiousness. It means plentitude. And this word describes a ship with full cargo. And a ship that has a full crew. And a town with no empty houses. Pleroma strongly emphasizes fullness and completion. You think about as we look out on the sea and you can see a ship that has full cargo. That's what God wants for you. He wants your entire life to be filled with the very fullness of God. I had a ship picture to be shown today, but didn't quite make it to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we're living, yay. Amen. So when we're living in fullness every day, brothers and sisters, there's just no room for anything else. In other words, there's no place for the devil.
That's right.
There's no place for fearful thoughts.
Amen.
And fearful thoughts come to each and every one of us.
That's right.
But we can take those thoughts and we can cast them down.
That's right.
And the fuller you are, the better your life will be.
Hallelujah.
And so when we talk about being filled with all the fullness of God, it begins by you and I being filled with the good word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Filled with the word of God. Now notice, in John chapter 1, it says this, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And what was the word? And the word was God. So we could say this, that God and his word are one. You cannot separate God from his word any more than you can separate wet from water.
That's right.
Wet from water are one. God and his word are one. And if you want to know the will of God, look to the word of God. Because the word of God reveals to you the will of God. And so what we need to understand is this, is God's word is God speaking to us. It is him literally speaking to us. So we don't have to beg and we don't have to cry, oh God, speak to me, God, speak to me. He has spoken to us through his holy word.
Amen.
And the fuller we are the word of God, the more of the will of God we will know, and the more of the plan of God we will be able to fulfill.
Amen. Praise God.
You see, God's word is alive.
Amen.
His word is not dead. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, it says this, it says, for the word of God is living and it is active. Let's just stop right there. God's word is active. It is energetic, my brothers and sisters. It is filled with the power of God. Amen. In the beginning was the word. I submit to you today, whatever you begin in your life, always begin with the word of God.
Amen.
Make God's word first place at the top of your day. Make God's word first place at the top of your marriage. Make God's word first place at the top of your business. In whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you begin, make sure his word is first.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say,
his word
is final authority. Oh, bless the Lord. Put the word first place. Have his word be your beginning and have it be your final authority.
Amen.
Those that are filled with the Spirit of God will let the word of God dwell in them richly. In Colossians 3:16, look at this verse. It says, let the word of God dwell in you on occasion.
No,
let the word of God dwell in you richly.
Yes.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Being thankful unto God. I want you to notice that word dwell in you richly. The word dwell there means to inhabit. And the word richly means copiously, abundantly, or lavishly. Lavishly. You know, lavishly is what I do with butter on my popcorn. Lavishly is what many of you do with barbecue sauce on your ribs. And what can we say about a baked potato? Woo, come on, somebody. Hey, can I get a witness? Yeah, lavishly, abundantly. Woo! Whenever we go to Texas Roadhouse and we order a baked potato and I do mine fully loaded. You know, God wants you to be fully loaded. But Brenda always says, would you please bring more butter? Things and life is better with butter. So the question would be is, why should we let his word dwell in us richly? We need to know why. Number one, because his word, it's alive. His word is alive. It's living. His word is alive. And for us to benefit from the word, living word, it must be alive in us. You see, his word is life-giving. Life is flowing in this place. It flowed in this place from the beginning of the first song, and it will flow in this place to the end of communion today. Jesus said something very powerful to you and I. He said, in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are philosophical and theological, and you must have a degree to understand them. No, he said, the words that I speak unto you, my words, they're spirit, and they are life. And this word that you have in your lap, this word that you have on your device is words of life that is designed to build your inner man up.
Amen.
You see, the word of God is so clear. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Because his word is life. Woo, glory to God. I said his word is life. Do you need a good dose of life today? Do you need a good dose of Zoe? His word is life to those that find them. And it is health, or literally medicine to all their flesh. Have you discovered that his word is medicinal to your body? But I tell you what else it's medicinal to. It's medicinal to your mind. It's medicinal to your soul. You see, the word of God tells us that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And when we got born again, it is our spirit that got born again, but we have the same mind, we have the same body. And he left it up to us to do something with our mind and with our body. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the law of the word, the law of the word of God, amen, it converts the soul. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way that you speak. It'll change the way that you see yourself. It'll change the way that you see other people. The law of the Lord, the word of God is precious. It is precious. And it is a gift to you and I to access 24/7. 365 days a year. If you need a word from heaven, just open up the book. Open up the B-I-B-L-E and let God speak to you. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Woo! Why do we let the Word of God dwell in us richly? Why? I'll tell you why. Because His Word is full of exceeding great and precious promises. This Word is precious. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2. And I think 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Notice this is according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through Him, through the knowledge of Him, you have been called to glory and virtue. Here's the verse I want you to see. Notice verse 4. Ready? Please read. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now I want you to notice something about verse 4. It says, through the promises of God, we partake of God's nature. You see, the promises of God is the connector. It is, we could say it this way, the promises of God is the pipeline through which His nature flows to us.
Yes.
And so we want to ask ourselves the question this morning, what is God's nature? Well, that's an easy answer. God's nature is the answer to everything you may need.
Amen.
God's nature includes wisdom.
Yes.
Anybody ever need wisdom?
Yes.
Like every day. You know, the Bible says, let him ask of God, if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. Amen? But his nature includes wisdom for daily decisions. How many of you know his nature includes health and healing? His nature includes abundance. Everything that you need is in the nature of God, and it comes through the pipeline of his promises. How about this? How about peace? There's peace in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
You see, in 2 Peter 1, 2, it says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Oh, there is peace that comes through the pipeline.
Yes.
What I'm saying to you today is this. There is an answer in God's nature for every one of mankind's needs. That's why they're called exceedingly and great. Amen?
Amen?
Woo, glory to God. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You see, don't live your life without the Word.
Right.
You may be a Christian, and that's awesome that you're a Christian, but Christians need to be armed with the weapons of the warfare.
Amen.
Christians need to be armed with the good Word of God.
Yes, amen.
You see, where there is no promise received, there is no pipeline. And without a promise, we cannot partake. How many of you enjoy partaking of Thanksgiving meals? I mean, you have never come over to the Hernandez household and then put on a big feast. And I'm telling you what, this guy can cook. I've seen some of his recipes. And he gets a little proud about it. But oh man, you talk about good. We found about a new sauce when we were in Arizona. It's called Yum Yum. Anybody ever heard of Yum Yum?
No.
They have it at Walmart. You can put it on anything.
Okay.
And you know what you say when you put Yum Yum on there? You go, Yum Yum, that's so good. But you would never go over to the Hernandez household and have him and Kimberly put on this huge feast and say, I'm just not hungry today. It'd be a slap in the face. But also, you would be coming up short of about 10,000 calories. No. If you want to partake of what's on the table, you got to come to the table.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you'll come to the table and you will partake of the Word of God, it will make you able to live this life strong and healthy and in great shape. Amen?
Amen.
Say with me, I am a partaker
of
His divine nature. Why do we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? Well, it enlightens us. It enlightens us. The psalmist said this, the entrance of His Word gives light. In other words, His Word, when it gives light, it enables to see things we haven't seen. Have you ever heard the term, the lights went on? You ever had that moment with God? Where you looked at a scripture and you went, wow. And maybe you've looked at it 20, 30 times before, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit highlighted it. And He enlightened it. And the entrance of His Word, woo, it brings light. And when light comes into your heart, what does it dispel? It can dispel confusion. It can dispel darkness. Say it with me, the entrance of His Word, it gives light. Why do we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? Because it nourishes us. What did Jesus say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Paul, right into Timothy, instructed him and he said, you know, the words of faith will bring nourishment to your spirit. But not only does it nourish us and strengthen us, but God's Word will cleanse us. I'm telling you, there's cleansing in the Word. You know what Jesus said in John? He said, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. Now, you don't have to go very far in this life. You don't have to go very far out of these doors to know that we live in a very sinful, dark, polluted world. You turn on the television and you see this and you see that. It's all anti-word. It's darkness. You live and you work in places where there's just darkness abounding. But God's Word will cleanse you. It'll keep you clean in your heart. It'll keep you clean in your soul. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So how then do we let the Word of God dwell in us in a richer way? I've got it boiled down to this. This is what I've been doing for 47 years. I thought about it the other day. I've been saved 47 years. Thank God for being saved. We have been married, praise the Lord, 47 years. We have preached in this church over 2,000 times. That means between Brenda and I, we have literally preached over 5,000 sermons since 1982. 5,000. All I can say is to God be the glory. Because I had one foot in hell and the other foot was almost in there. But oh, thank God He saved me and brought me out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is what we've been doing year after year, day after day. And what I'm about to share with you, you can do it too. If you will just do it, if you just will. Is four words or five words, maybe six, I don't know. Here it is. Feed, read, meditate, sing, and speak. Feed on the Word of God daily. Read the Word of God daily. Meditate or ponder and think about what you're reading. And then get happy and sing. You know, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, if you can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you can teach yourself in the privacy of your own home by singing unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody says, well, I don't sing. You're not called to record. You're not called to stream, but you can sing. Everyone say, feed. Read. Meditate. Sing. And just speak. Speak the Word.
Amen.
At the top of the morning, say it with me. This is the day,
The
Lord has made.
The joy of the Lord
is my strength. I am complete in Him. I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus. Amen. So number one, if you're going to be filled with all the fullness of God, it begins with the word. Number two, there's another key that we want to look at, and it's really simple, and we were doing a lot of it already today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Two words. What does it say? Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Smith Wigglesworth was quoted as saying, as soon as my feet hit the floor in the morning, I just dance for 10 minutes. Picture yourself, dancing for 1 minute. Not only will you burn calories, but it'll bless you. And you know what? You don't have to do ballet. You can just dance before the Lord. Here's what it might look like. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Just don't spin around too much. You might get a little dizzy. But start where you are. And if you will start where you are, you will not stay where you are. So everyone say, rejoice evermore. Come on, let's put a big smile on our face. Rejoice evermore. What does this mean? This means at all times. David said in Psalm 119, 162, I love this. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil. Glory to God. So when we get thrilled with the word of God, that's when it comes alive and we see supernatural results. So the question is, why do we rejoice? Well, number one, we can rejoice because we're saved. Anybody saved?
Amen.
We can rejoice because we're healed.
Amen.
We can rejoice because we are complete in Him.
Yes.
That we are redeemed from the curse of the law.
Yes.
We can rejoice because we're right in His sight.
Yes.
You can rejoice because you are His masterpiece.
Amen.
Try this one on for size. You can rejoice because you are blessed.
Yes.
And you are highly favored.
Yes.
I'm going to try this section over here. You can rejoice because you are blessed and you are highly favored. Oh, let's say it together. We can
rejoice
because we are blessed and we are highly favored. Glory to God. I speak a word of favor over each and every one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, let your favor go before them and open doors that no man can shut. Lord, I thank you for giving them favor not only with you but with man. Favor on the job, Lord. Favor in the area of promotions. Favor in real estate. In the name of Jesus. Favor in real estate. Favor beyond the norm. I prophesy over each and every one of your lives. The favor of God in the name of Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. If I were you, I'd say, I receive it. I receive that favor. So why rejoice? Any number of reasons. Psalm 34 verses 1 through 3. Notice this in the Passion. It says, Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you have done for me. Amen? You know, it'll help us to rejoice when we focus on what he has already done. That the victory literally has already been won, and we can rejoice in the finished works of Christ. Let's read it together. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. Let's go on to the next one. I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Amen. Now let's read the next one. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make his name famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm sure of one thing. I'm sure of this, that most Christians, and not being judgmental, but most Christians do not rejoice enough, and they don't celebrate enough. Peter gives us some insight into this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, he says, "Blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us unto what kind of a hope? A lively or a living hope by the resurrection from the dead." Make a mark there right now. A living hope. Now next verse, verse 3, or verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So number one, we have a living hope, right? And number two, we also have an inheritance. How many of you like inheritances? Somebody says, "Well, my folks didn't leave me a red penny." But your heavenly Father left you a whole lot. Amen? Now notice in verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through what?" Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's three things right here. Number one, a living hope. Number two, an inheritance. Number two, being kept by the power of God. Anybody been kept by the power of God?
Yes.
Glory to God. Even though you made some stupid mistakes, God was there in spite of your stupidity and saved you and kept you because his hand is upon you. Amen. So three things. Say three things. A living hope, an inheritance, and being kept by the power of God. Now notice the next verse. It says, wherein you get a little happy. Wherein what? Wherein what he said before. Wherein that you have a living hope. Wherein that you have an inheritance. Wherein that you're kept by the power of God. Wherein, because of this, you greatly rejoice.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. Even though now, if but for a season, how many of you know seasons come, but seasons also go? Even though for a while, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now read verse 8 with me if you would please. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Mark Hankins says this. He said, unspeakable joy is a container of the glory of God. There's things you have not seen yet, but are you still believing? Are you still holding fast? And it's because you are believing, you can rejoice. Amen?
Amen?
How many of you know you cannot rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory if you're walking by sight? The only way that you and I can count it all joy is this. If we're not looking at what we're going through.
Amen.
What does this mean? It means we are to look at something or someone else. Looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Is it possible in the midst of your test to greatly rejoice?
Yes.
Didn't Jesus do that? You talk about a test. Never underestimate or never devalue what he went through. I mean, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he literally sweat droplets of blood because he knew what was about to take place. He knew that he was going to become a sin offering for the whole world. The current world, but also the world in which we live now. Every person's sin. Every person's torment. Every person's demise. Every person's depression. All of it was placed on Jesus. But oh, what a Savior. And oh, what an attitude. How could he go through that? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God. One translation says this, for the joy of obtaining the prize. He had his eye on the prize. He saw a bunch of us in Hayward, California. On October 6, 2024, at 11:17 a.m., he saw a bunch of us who he would pay the ultimate price for. And he kept his eyes fixed on the prize. You are that prize. We are that prize. He prayed the price for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Who for the joy? Who for the joy that was set for him? He saw us right here in the Bay Area. Again in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. How many of you know if you believe you're healed and the money's come in, there's nothing to be depressed about? I can't see my miracle looking at the problems. I can't see my prosperity looking at the bills. I can't see this property paid in full by looking at the amount of money that we owe. I see me healed. But I also added this, PT, I see me debt free. And until you can see it on the inside, you'll never see it on the outside. Because faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. Say it me. Faith is of the heart. So what is this saying to us? Faith sees the answer.
Yes. Amen.
Faith sees your loved ones coming in.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Praise God. Before my brother died, I had the golden opportunity to make sure he was saved. I know that it won't be long before I see my brother. I had the golden opportunity to know this, that my sister was saved.
Amen.
And I'm working on my other brother.
Amen.
Praise God, he's coming in.
Amen.
But you all got family, right?
Yes.
I mean, you got family.
Yes.
Some of you got pooky in them, right? I mean, you know, I better not go any further there. But I mean, in the natural realm, some of them look like reprobates. They're acting like it. But you know how to pray.
Amen.
I said, you know how to pray.
Amen.
You know how to pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Salvation be in my family. You know how to pray. And as Sabrina so wonderfully exhorted today during worship, we need to exercise our authority. What does that look like when we exercise authority in our loved ones' lives? We take authority over those demonic spirits that are blind in their eyes. And we claim them for the kingdom of God. And we don't put up with anything else. We don't put up with anything less than our whole household being saved.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Raise a hand and say, my whole household is coming in. If you can see it, you can have it. And so I encourage you this morning to see yourself the way God sees you. See yourself living long and living strong. And while you're believing, greatly rejoice over something you don't see on the outside, but you see it on the inside, and you know you have it now. Woo, glory to God. I love it, don't you? So we got a whole lot to rejoice about. We've got a whole lot to celebrate. Another writer said this. He said, there's no penalty for excessive celebration in the kingdom of God. You won't get a ticket in here. Mike, our head usher, you know, you get a little excessive and you start kind of dancing around like Tony does, and you maybe run the aisles. He's not going to give Tony a ticket at the end of the service. No, that's too excessive. That's too much. How many of you know we serve the God of too much? And I've discovered that he that sitteth in the heavens is dancing over us with joy. And he that sitteth in the heavens is laughing. Amen? So if they can laugh in heaven, if they can shout in heaven, they can dance in heaven, we can do it down here. So there's no penalty. Raul, there's no penalty. Glory to God. For excessive celebration. It's like Brenda said, excessive celebration over a little pig skin. Excessive celebration over breaking Babe Ruth's record. No, you're in the kingdom of God. And the Bible describes the kingdom of God this way. It says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not butter on your potato. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Notice he didn't say in when everything's going well. No, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That never changes. And he's on the inside of you.
Yes.
So there should be a constant celebration, a constant rejoicing, because you are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Celebrate Jesus' victory over the enemy. Now, in 2 Corinthians 2:14, in the Coney Bear translation, that's right, I said Coney Bear, which you don't have. Notice this with me, the Coney Bear's translation. It says, thanks be to God who leads me on from place to place in the train of his triumph to celebrate his victory over the enemies of Christ. That just sticks out to me. What kind of train is this? It's the victory train.
Amen.
And I believe that there is a call to the body of Christ. And I believe the call sounds something like this. When the conductor says, on board, on board, or all aboard. You see, what God is instructing us this morning is he wants everyone to get on board to this victory train.
Amen.
Now, the service you're in today, what we experienced during praise and worship today, listen to me, it is a place of practice for when you are home alone. The Message translation says it this, in the Messiah in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. I'm on the triumph train. We're on the victory parade. We're celebrating the goodness of God, the favor of God. We're celebrating the faithfulness of God. Amen? C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
I want to quote to you some things from a book. In other words, heaven conducts its most serious business in an atmosphere of joy. In the kingdom of God, there is some business being taken care of. While you rejoice, transactions are made and prayers are answered. And people may warn you and say, you better take this situation seriously. But when you apply the blood of Jesus and you rejoice, you can tell them, I'm taking this extremely seriously. Stand up, everybody. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. And someone said this, if you only knew what happened in the spirit when you rejoice, you'd rejoice every day.